continue our series tonight on grief. We have on Sunday mornings one more in our series, Full House, and then we're going to be starting a Sunday morning series for a few weeks on relational parasites. You know, there are some people that just like a parasite sucks the life out of a host, you know. There's some people that just suck the life out of you. Anybody ever experienced, don't look at your neighbor, anybody ever experienced somebody like that? Amen. We're going to be seeing how God teaches us to deal with individuals like that in our life in a way that honors him. And so we encourage you to make plans to be with us for that upcoming series. We're continuing our series tonight called Good Grief, and we're learning how to experience loss and grieve with hope. And last week we looked at the gift of tears. Tonight our message is titled Talk Therapy. Joyce and Wayne, a couple, had rented a vacation house in Florida for their family. And Joyce was preparing lunch for the family. Wayne was out playing golf with his cousins, and their four kids were in the living room with three grandparents. Joyce later described the moment that is fixed forever in her memory. She said, "I looked up from the sink and to my horror saw our youngest daughter, Jill, floating in the pool. She ran and dove into the pool and tried to save her two-year-old daughter while the grandparents called 911, but it was too late. Her little girl was gone." And to this day, Joyce says she has no idea how her two-year-old got out of the house. She was supposed to be playing in the living room with the other kids with their grandparents. After the death of their daughter, they went back up north, and Joyce said she was numb for a while. They buried their baby girl and soon found out that Joyce was pregnant again, and it was time to get the other kids off to school, and life just kept on going, And she said there was so much going on that 40 years passed, and Joyce and Wayne rarely spoke about the loss of their little girl. Until they were asked by their pastor to lead a grief support group and share their experience of loss to help others. Joyce had avoided talking about loss, the loss of her daughter, to anyone because she felt guilty all those years for how her little girl had died. She felt she was responsible, that she should have been watching her. And she said, "You have all of these feelings, and you never really have the opportunity to discuss your thoughts with someone else. But that first night in the grief group," she said, "it was so traumatic for me to tell the story that I was shaking for at least an hour afterwards. But it brought a release and a cleansing." She said, "I had no idea this would happen, but to sit in that group and say that I had lost a child was freeing for me, Now, most all of us have experienced grief, and we can attest to the fact that it is emotionally, physically, and spiritually painful. And when grieving, we experience a combination of very powerful and painful emotions that we often try to suppress, avoid, or ignore so that we can get on with life. Like she said, you know, by the time they got their little girl buried, it was time for the kids to get back in school. She was pregnant. They were preparing for the coming of another baby. Life just kept going. And so they never really dealt with their grief. But if we don't deal with our grief, those emotions can build up inside, and it can cause depression, anxiety, addictions, and even physical illness. But the problem is we often don't know how to grieve in a healthy way, and that's why God has given us an entire book of the Bible to guide us through the valley of grief and sorrow and loss. Lamentations was written after the Babylonian invasion of Jerusalem, when the Israelites saw their loved ones killed, their home, their temple destroyed, and their families carried away into exile. And it was a time of great loss, yet in the midst of all of that sorrow and pain, Jeremiah found hope. hope. And God uses Jeremiah to guide us through the process of grief. First, he teaches us the importance of tears, and we looked at that last week, speaking about the importance of allowing ourselves to cry as an essential part of dealing with loss and finding healing. And if you missed last week's message, I encourage you to jump back onto our Facebook page or our YouTube channel and watch it, because I believe that it will minister healing to a lot of hearts. But Lamentation also teaches us the importance of putting our grief into words. Putting our grief into words. Lamentations is like a prolonged, loud, and agonizing cry to God from a people who had experienced an unfathomable loss. And in each chapter of Lamentations, Jeremiah tells and retells the tragic story of the destruction of Jerusalem and the great loss suffered by the Jews, a loss that he shared with them. Reading from Lamentations 3, verses 17 through 20, we find a snapshot that captures the grief that Jeremiah and the people of Jerusalem and Judea are processing. He says, "Peace has been stripped away, and I have forgotten what prosperity is. I cry out, my splendor is gone. Everything I had hoped for from the Lord is lost. The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." You know, we need to recover the ability to grieve or lament, because we live in a society that pressures us to plaster a smile on our face, get over our grief, and get on with life. But the only way to get over our grief is to go through our grief, to go through our process of grieving. One writer states, "Lamenting is a spiritual practice found throughout the Bible, and it means to grieve out loud." He said, "Grief is a natural part of life, and it happens to all of us." Because of this, he goes on to say, "Lamenting becomes a necessary step in our journey of healing, of moving through the anger, the despair, the frustration, the grief, and the powerlessness." Now, beyond tears, another essential part of the practice of lament or grieving is talking about our loss. And Jeremiah teaches us the healing power of talking about our loss as he tells the story of Israel's suffering, of Israel's loss, again and again. So what do we learn from Lamentations? First of all, don't be afraid to talk about your grief and loss. Talk about your grief with others. One writer says, "God has given us an entire book of the Bible in which sorrow is put into words, and the grief of what was lost is expressed over and over again." He goes on to say, this tells us something very important about how to grieve. We must give grief words. We must give grief words. Telling your story will be a part of God's provision for healing your soul. You know, one of the feelings that Jeremiah describes is being alone in grief. And this is something you see repeatedly, especially in the first chapter. In chapter 1, verse 2, speaking of Jerusalem, he says, "Among all her lovers, there's no one left to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her." In verse 7, he says, "There is no one left to help her." Verse 9, "She lies in the gutter with no one to lift her out." Verse 12, he describes a sense that no one understands what you're going through and no one cares, because grief can be very isolating. And that's what he's describing here. But what he's also teaching us is that grief should take place in community, not in isolation. Grief should take place in community, not isolation. Those who are grieving need safe people in their life who love them and who they can talk to about their grief and their loss. In an article titled Moving Forward, Dealing with Grief, the author writes, God made you unique and your grieving process will be your personal journey. But keep in mind that the weight of grief is lighter when it is shared. Support from others can help you to handle the aftermath of your loss. So a person who is grieving needs to talk about what they are feeling, and they need to talk about what happened to their loved one. You know, so to ask somebody, you know, what happened? And they can tell you, and they'll often tell you with great detail how the end of that person's life went. And they need to do that. That's a part of their healing process. It's a part of their coping. So they need to talk about their feeling. They need to talk about what happened to their loved one. And being able to talk with others about their grief and their loss helps them to establish those all-important connections that will keep them from feeling isolated and will prevent them from the unhealthy practice of just suppressing their emotions. To the person who is mourning, I encourage you to reach out to friends, family, and beloved brothers and sisters in Christ and say, you know, it would be really helpful to me if I could just talk to you about what I'm feeling, what I'm going through. Tell somebody what they need, because so often people feel helpless. They don't know what to do when they are around someone who's grieving. And we'll often say something like, if there's anything that I can do, and we mean it, but we don't know what to do. So if you ask someone and say, you know, it would be really helpful to me if I could just share what I'm feeling and what I'm going through. And when somebody says that to you, welcome that. And just be there and provide the ministry of presence, the ministry of a listening, compassionate ear. Of course, to the person who is grieving and seeking someone to share their experience with, be careful that you choose wisely who you talk with, because some people are better at listening than others. Some people are empathetic, compassionate, and supportive listeners. Others are like, hey, well, build a bridge and get over it. You know, what has it been already? A month since you lost your loved one? It's time to get on with your life. You know, there's some people that are like that, you know, and that's not the kind of person that you want to choose to open up to. And for those of us who care about someone who is mourning, we need to overcome our own discomfort with grief and not knowing what to say and be present with them. Ask your grieving friend or loved one, how are you really doing? How are you feeling today? Not just how are you feeling, because it's like, duh, you know, but how are you feeling today, you know? And then listen, be supportive, and encourage them to be honest in expressing their feelings. Don't judge. There is no right way and there is no wrong way to grieve. And there is no expiration date on grief to say, oh, by such and such date, you should be over your grieving. Yeah. You know, even today was my dad's birthday. He would have been 94 years old. It's been 10 years since my father passed. And today, as my mom was having lunch, she said, you know, today would have been your father's birthday. And you could hear the grief in her voice. You know, even in the state that she's in, there is still that empty place, that sense of loss that is in her heart. So, you know, of course, you know, she didn't allow grief to debilitate her. She went on with her life for those 10 years, but someone never really overcomes loss. They learn to adjust to living without that person, but that loss is still there. That emptiness is still there. So don't judge. There's no right way or wrong way. There's no set timeline on grief. So don't hurry a person along and say, well, you ought to be over with it by now. You know, let them grieve. Give them permission to grieve. And to those who are grieving, talk about your loss. As one writer states, a grieving person often wants to talk about everything every detail of their loss. And he likens it to a priceless vase that falls and shatters. And the woman who loved that vase kneels down and picks up each piece, and she holds each piece, even the tiniest piece, and she examines it in detail, turning it around as if imagining where it belonged. And he writes, that's what grief is like. A grieving person will often want to talk about the smallest detail of their loss, even what seems like inconsequential details, but it's important to them because it was a part of someone or something that they dearly loved. It is healing. Yeah. To be able to talk about the trauma of loss. And the more traumatic the loss, the more important it is to be able to talk about it, no matter how hard it may be to open up. It's significant that Lamentations puts into words the story of a people who had experienced the horrors of seeing their children die, witnessing the violence of war, rape, torture, and enslavement. And God made sure that every painful detail of their experience was written down without being watered down. Lamentations is not a book for the faint of heart. It describes in great detail the horrific suffering of God's people. Why? Because it happened, and the trauma remained in their soul. As Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3:20, I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. And sharing the story is always painful, but it's healing. Sharing the story is healing. Another writer states, healing comes when you face the darkest corners of your pain, trauma, grief, and loss, and bring it out into the light of God's healing presence in the company of others who you love. That's when healing takes place. When you take all of those feelings that have been stuffed inside in the darkness of your grieving soul, and you bring it out into light. Amen. Into the light of God's presence and a community of love. Talk about your loved one and the wonderful memories you shared. You can see the healing power of this at most memorial services. At most memorial services, there'll be a time where two or three friends and family members may be given the opportunity to share tributes or reflections about their loved ones. And they'll talk freely about what they cherished about their loved ones and the memories that they shared. And sometimes they'll even share funny stories that bring laughter in the midst of sorrow as everyone remembers those happy moments. That's important to the healing process. But even once the funeral is over, those who are mourning still want to talk about their loved one. You know, everyone else after the funeral's over with, they just think, you know, back to life. But that person who has lost their loved one, they still want to talk about their loved one. Pastor Donald Howard wrote a booklet to share what he learned about grief after his wife's passing. And he said, let the bereaved speak. But then he points out that too often the opposite happens. He says, a widow is with friends and one of them remembers a funny story about her husband, but he holds the story back and changes the conversation for fear of upsetting her. Howard comments, if he had told the story, though it might have brought a tear to her eyes, she probably would have laughed and thought how wonderful it was that her husband was still remembered. Amen. Then Howard makes this striking remark. Part of the congregation's task as time goes by is to help keep the memory of loved ones alive. You know, Sunday night at our church fellowship, I was sitting there with Teresa and Donna and some others, and Tony Casanovas, one of our longtime members who passed away just a couple years ago, he was a real jokester, a real prankster, and when we would have fellowships, he was always pulling some prank. You know, he would make a beautifully decorated cake that looked like he bought it at Publix. He would even get the plastic container and everything like that, looked like he bought it at the store. And then he would wait for some unsuspecting person and tell him, come, it's time to cut the cake. And when they tried to cut the cake, they realized that it was styrofoam that he had beautifully frosted over. Or at our Christmas parties, he would beautifully wrap these packages, and inside would be a brick, or he would get a cell phone box, and he would take an empty cell phone box, and he would take two tin cans with a string in between. He'd put it in the cell phone box and wrap it up, and then when we had our gift exchange, you know, somebody would pick that gift, and they would open it up at first, and they'd be like, oh, a cell phone, you know, and then he'd be like, no, open it up, and when they open it up, there's the tin cans, you know, and this was the joke that we eagerly anticipated every Christmas, because he was always a part of our leaders' fellowship at Christmas time. And so that came up on Sunday night, and we were joking and we were laughing and we were just remembering, you know, Tony in the midst of all of that and how much he is missed. And so if Evelyn is watching tonight, his wife, I want you to know that your husband is still long remembered and loved, and we were thinking about him on Sunday night. But a member of a grief group said, it is always a gift when someone brings up their loved one and talks about them, because it signifies that their loved one's life mattered, that they're still loved, that they're still remembered. You know, we need to become comfortable talking about those who have passed and sharing fond memories. It honors them, it keeps their memory alive, and it comforts their loved ones who remain behind. It is healing. Lamentations 1:12, Jeremiah wondered, does anyone understand? Does anyone care? And the grieving person often questions, does anyone understand my pain? Does anyone share my sense of loss? And talking about their loved one fondly reassures them, yes, we share your sense of loss. Maybe not to the same degree that you do, but we share your sense of loss and we understand. The second thing we learn from Jeremiah is that no one should ever grieve alone. You know, in Romans 12:15, the Bible tells us that we are to weep with those who weep. God is calling us to enter into the pain of those who are mourning, to feel for them, to cry with them, to comfort them, to pray with them, and to surround them. And God is saying that grief should be a shared experience, and that requires two things. We need to be willing to be present and identify with those who grieve. And we see this in Scripture. When the widow of Nain had lost her only son, it says that a large crowd from the town was with her. There were people from the town that joined in with her. When Lazarus died in John 11:19, it says many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. You see, grieving is meant to be a corporate experience. That's why memorial services are so very important, because it is a corporate experience of expressing grief. One writer expressed how she sat behind a couple every week in church, and she said, I didn't know them. Then one week, he was gone. His widow stood near me, swaying back and forth with arms raised, folding through the air as if she was gathering something that I could not see. And soon a church leader came near. Then three women joined alongside her to pray. And in a single moment, she said, our church blended corporate worship with corporate mourning. Even those of us who did not know this man grieved for him, for his wife, and for the loss we had borne. As the body of Christ, we need to be a safe place for those who are grieving to bring their pain out into the light of God's presence in the midst of a community of faith, so that they can find healing, help, and hope. Christian author Eugene Peterson, who's also the author of the Message Bible, states, the biblical way to deal with suffering is to transform what is individual into something corporate. The congregation must be brought into the room with the individual's grief to gather around them, to comfort them, so that the sufferers come to realize that the pain they cannot resign themselves to is understood by others. That's what it is to grieve together, that people say, I'm not alone in this, that there are others who understand my pain. But the biblical pattern of grief is that it is a shared experience, and that also requires the grieving to open themselves up and invite their brothers and sisters in Christ into their sorrow. Of course, again, use wisdom and share your deepest feelings and thoughts with those who are better able to understand, those that have compassion and empathy, and often those who have walked through the valley of grief will be better able to share your grief than those who have not. When you have suffered loss, you can identify and empathize with someone who has suffered loss. You know, if you have not suffered a close loss in your life, then sometimes it's more difficult to understand, hey, it's been 2 years. Why hasn't this person gotten over it yet? You know, because you have never been there. You have never been in their shoes. But find somebody that has suffered loss, and you will generally find someone who has a compassionate heart and an empathetic ear to hear. Be sure that they are people of faith who will help you to find healing and hope in the Lord. Because you don't want just someone that is going to sit there and wallow in your misery with you. You want someone there that will encourage you, someone that will inspire you to have faith and hold fast to the Lord and look to the Lord in hope. Most importantly, we need to remember that we have a Savior who knows what it is to walk through the valley of sorrow. And He is always with us and always ready to listen. And ultimately, healing comes when we talk to God and invite His presence to bring healing in our heart. But in grief, it's sometimes hard for us to pray or experience God for ourselves. Do you know that? When somebody is grieving in the depths of loss, it is sometimes hard for them to pray and experience God for themselves. And that's why it's so important to have the family of God around us to pray with us and to minister His presence in our lives. You know, Jewish people understand the importance of grieving openly with others. That's why they have a practice that's called sitting Shiva, where family and friends gather in the home for 7 days after the burial of a loved one to receive visitors. And the faith community, the Jewish faith community, comes out to support and comfort the grieving family. And the tradition traces all the way back to Job, believe it or not. Do you remember after Job's loss, what did his friends do? They came and they sat with him for 7 days. And that was wonderful until they opened their mouth and began judging him. But that ministry of presence for 7 days was that consolation, that comfort. He had lost all of his children. He had lost all of his wealth. So it was a time of grieving. And it emphasizes the importance of community in grieving. One writer expresses how as Christians we want to focus on eternal glory rather than the earthly sorrows around us. That's what we want to do, right? We want to focus on eternal glory, and we're ready to talk about heaven, and that's important. But while we're thinking about heaven, we need to realize that those that are left here on earth are still experiencing pain. They're experiencing sorrow and they're grieving. And so sometimes we find it difficult and awkward to walk through loss with those that are grieving because we are so eternally minded, so to speak. God doesn't want anyone to grieve alone. So those who grieve, I encourage you to reach out. Find those that you can trust. Find those that perhaps have had a similar experience as yours that can understand your grief, and tell them, look, it would just be really helpful if I could just talk to you about how I'm feeling and what I'm going through. And as the body of Christ, let us commit ourselves to weep with those who weep. Let's move beyond our discomfort and be present, listen, talk with, and comfort and support those who are grieving, because no one should grieve alone. Would you stand to your feet and let's just make ourselves available to God to be a healing community, a healing person, to be that community where someone who is grieving can find love and support and understanding and people who will walk alongside of them in the healing process. Let's ask God to use us. And if you're a person who's grieving, ask God to guide you to someone or to several people who you can reach out to and you can talk with them and find that support. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now, Lord. We just thank you for the wisdom of your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are teaching us to grieve, and you're also teaching us how to be present with those who grieve and how we can minister to them more effectively, Lord God. Father, as we stand before you right now, we pray for every person who is grieving that you would just give them wisdom and that you would guide them to safe people that they can open up with and that they can talk through their grief with, Lord God. And Father, we pray for ourselves right now, Lord God, that we might be safe people, that we might be a healing community, Lord God, where people can open themselves up, Lord God, and they can share the hurt, the pain, the sadness of their heart without judgment, Lord God, but that they'll find encouragement, that they'll find love, that they'll find understanding, that they'll find support and compassion, Lord. Help us to be that kind of people, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Thank you for coming. Have a wonderful rest of your evening.